Before So Kwon and I started to date, I had a few things I was looking for in my future husband. If I was ever going to marry someone, my husband would have to be a handsome man with a gorgeous singing voice. I always dreamed of falling asleep in his arms every night, listening to him serenade me with his songs. Since I was the oldest child in my family, I thought it would be better if my husband was not the oldest. I wanted him to be someone who could listen more than talk. He and I would have to share common food preferences and interests. And very importantly, he would have to be someone who would never forget his wife's birthday or wedding anniversary. So, did I marry my dream husband? We are already laughing. No. Well, my husband was not any of those things that I had in mind for my future husband. He did not have a gorgeous singing voice. I do not remember ever falling asleep to his lullabies for me. My husband was not just the first, but was the only child of a strong-willed single mother. He is 100% extroverted, who loves to talk more than listen. And while I like vegetable dishes, he is a meat lover. And guess what? Remembering my birthday and our anniversary has never been his strength. Obviously, I married someone who I had never imagined being with. However, the more I got to know So Kwon, going through many seasons of life together, the more I became convinced that he was the best husband for me. And I turned out to be the best wife for him as well. I believe it. We were not the couple whose personalities and backgrounds were perfectly matching, but our differences have both complemented and stretched us to make us who we are now. Of course, compatibility matters when it comes to finding a spouse. But for a marriage, there is something more important than compatibility. It is called commitment. Through the wedding vows that are exchanged between you and your spouse, you promise to always love and cherish each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. The expectation is that you will both keep the promise going through different seasons of life together. And it is hard work. If you're married, you know what I mean. Picking the right person to marry is like a warm-up exercise for the real challenge of marriage. Of course, there are times when a breakup is unavoidable and can be justified. No one should endure violence and abuse. No one should be told to stay in an abusive relationship for the sake of keeping their wedding vows. Except in those circumstances, You are to embrace the challenge of being committed to upholding your marital covenant, no matter how imperfect your marriage is. Likewise, being part of a healthy church requires one's commitment. And this can make you feel uncomfortable. Too often, people will leave a church when conflicts arise and things get challenging. People are reluctant to join a church because they feel uncomfortable with the commitment they are asked to make as a member. But as we have learned over the last three Sundays, this comfort is something to be is not something to be avoided, but rather embraced in the life of the church. As McCracken writes, to be a community of Jesus followers is to trade a comfortable, me-centric existence for danger, difficulty, and discomfort of all sorts. Then what uncomfortable commitments are we talking about here? What did it mean to be part of a church for the first Jesus followers? Today's scripture reading says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The early Christians were devoted to meeting together. Nowadays, starting with our Sunday worship, most church gatherings are held weekly or less. In comparison, the early church's gatherings were daily meetings. They met not only in the temple, a public space, but also in their private homes. Specifically, the scripture says there were four things that they devoted themselves to whenever they gathered together. First, the apostles' teaching. In other words, they were serious about being discipled. The mission of our denomination, the mission of the United Methodist Church, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And making disciples requires both teachers who are committed to teaching and students who want to learn. People became Christian believers by confessing their sins and being baptized. But they did not stop there. They continued seeking to grow in their faith by devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the scripture says. So here is a question for us all. Are you growing spiritually? If you cannot answer this question with a yes, I invite you to do something about it. There are opportunities for learning beyond the Sunday school and Sunday worship service. We have adult Sunday school before worship. We have Tuesday morning Bible study, Wednesday morning Bible study. We have men's study group on Thursdays. And I am still hoping, really, really hoping to be able to start a second Covenant Bible study group on Tuesday evenings in the month of October. The second, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Today, this is a word everyone likes to use in church, and it is always associated with food. But Fellowship for the early church was more than just sharing food. It meant sharing relationships among believers. It meant serving one another. Verses 44 and 45 say, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. In other words, paraphrasing, simply put, they were all together, everyone, all were included, and no one was left out. It is impossible for Christian believers to walk alone if they are serious about their spiritual maturity. By being together with other believers in the local church, we are made aware of our own strength as well as our weaknesses. It is in a community of Christian believers that we are instructed and corrected. It is here that we are encouraged and strengthened. We experience being loved, and we also love those who are difficult to love. We forgive others, and we are also forgiven. We use our own gifts to help others and serve others, and we are also helped and served. And this is like a field education, the ground of field education. We are here together to grow together in faith through our relationships with one another. We are not a perfect church. There is no perfect church anywhere, not anywhere in the world. But through the relationships we have with one another in our imperfect church, we grow and mature spiritually and move toward the perfection God desires for all of us. Third, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Verse 45 says, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Here, the breaking of bread, when we hear breaking of the bread, we just automatically think that was Holy Communion. But it does not mean just celebrating Holy Communion, but also includes eating actual meals together. Whenever and wherever they met, both in the temple and at private homes, they ate together. Literally, they ate together. This is proof of the important role that food played in the life of the early church. Now, with our lifestyle today, it is impossible for us to eat a full meal after worship service, though I see our sister congregation, New Creation, maybe partially because of their timing of their worship service, they worship here at 12:30. So after their worship service, without failing, always they eat lunch together. And sometimes I go and eat with them, especially when they serve Korean food. But our coffee hour after our worship service is still very important. We visit with one another and make new friends. Usually there is always some kind of simple food prepared as different people sponsor this wonderful time of fellowship. I urge you not to leave right away. I know some people just disappear from here. They straight go to the parking lot. But before reaching your car, please drop by the fellowship hall and just even stay just for a few, even for a couple of minutes. And just linger around in the fellowship hall. That will really make a difference. Get to know people. As you are there, try to make an effort to get to know people. Instead of waiting for someone else to approach you, introduce yourself to someone and get to know him or her. If you are not sure if that person is a church member or not, just say, "Have I met you before?" Plan to meet one new person per Sunday and try to remember his or her name. Soon, you will realize that you know quite a number of people in our church already. And once in a while, we are delighted to have more than just light refreshments. As I mentioned in the beginning during the announcement time, next Sunday will be such an occasion as we are going to celebrate an international potluck luncheon in celebration of World Communion Sunday and also to kick off our stewardship campaign. So I invite you to sign up if you have not yet, just bring an ethnic dish to share, and if possible, dress in a manner that represents your ethnic heritage. It will be a day of much fun and nourishment. Fourth, lastly, they devoted themselves to prayers and praises. In other words, they were devoted to worship. Worship is so integral to the life of the church that when people say, "I'm going to church," often what they mean is that they are going to a worship service. In worship, we remember who God is, and we remember who we are to be as God's people. In worship, we come before God with our best gifts in response to God's grace and mercy toward us. In worship, we surrender ourselves to God. In worship, our eyes are open to what God is doing in our midst. In worship, our souls are replenished and our hearts are renewed. In worship, we are empowered to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in the world. So I urge you to make every effort to come to worship every Sunday as long as you are in town and not down with sickness. I know there are times when we have out-of-town guests at our home and they are not willing to come with you to the worship service. That happens. In comparison to the commitment the first followers of Jesus had to make, worshiping together every single day, this is a piece of cake, isn't it? The scripture says, in the community of the first Christian believers, they were committed to worship, fellowship, discipleship, and service as they spent much time together, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The first Christian church rapidly grew, not because they had a special evangelism program, but simply because everyone was fully committed to all aspects of their life together as the church. Like a marriage, being part of a local church calls us to be in a covenantal relationship with God and with one another. It requires us to make a commitment, which can be quite uncomfortable for many of us. But this is what makes us who we are as followers of Jesus and as the church. So remember that your church membership is not an entitlement, but responsibility. Remember that you have made a promise before your church family when you join the church, this particular church, Campbell United Methodist Church, to support the ministries of your church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. All right, let's say that together more smoothly, right? Okay. We will support the ministries of our church by my prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. Wonderful. Through your membership vow, God has placed you here at Campbell to serve, to give, to love, and to sacrifice for God's ministries. Whenever I talk about church membership vow, I can't help but remember an episode from one of the churches I have served. It was a Sunday when we received new members. During the liturgy of receiving new members, I asked these members each of the membership vow separately. Actually, I elaborated more. So instead of saying in one sentence, in one bottle, I just went one by one. And then I kind of tried to demand their answer separately, emphasizing the seriousness of the promise they are making. So it generated some laughter in the congregation, and everything went very well. About several new members, they were still willing to, because despite the heavy seriousness of this membership vow they are making, they were still willing to join the church. Well, the trouble was after the worship service. Right after the worship service, the greeting time was over. The church council chairperson, not Bruce, he was not like you, Bruce. The church council chairperson approached me and said, "Pastor, you almost blew it." He was quite upset. So, "What's wrong?" He said, "You were scaring them. You were asking them too much." Wow. So, the membership vow, if you take that really seriously, they can make you feel uncomfortable. That is true. But that is who we are as a member of this church, as part of this church family. Brett McCracken, the author of the book Uncomfortable, that inspired this sermon series, asked these questions to us church-going Christians. Will you commit to looking at church not in terms of what you can get, but what you can give? Considering how your presence with the body might encourage others and stir them to love and good works. Will you embrace the awkwardness and inconvenience and uncool costliness of the uncomfortable church? What is your answer to these questions? No matter how uncomfortable being together might make us feel, we are here together as this wonderful and beautiful church family to do the work, to work to accomplish the mission and vision God has placed in the hearts of this church family. So thanks be to God. Amen.